Okay, thank you, Cody. Okay, good evening. Okay, I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I greet all those, welcome all those that are joining in on the live stream this night, and I hope that I can bring something. You know, God has placed a message on my heart, and I hope I can convey it here and bring us something that will strengthen us, that will let us be better people, let us be a stronger congregation. And so I'm gonna start with a question. First of all, it's a word, outreach. And then I'm following up with a question, which is, how are you doing, or how are we doing on outreach? You know, every month at our ministry meeting, we start with a season of prayer. I do some scriptures, and then my first question to our ministers is outreach. How are we doing? And you know, it's just that thing in our mind. We have to keep it in our mind that we need to be a light, that we need to outreach to others. And we had, as ministers, we had talked about doing ministry visits. People, and I brought it before the congregation, and we did it a certain way, which I said, please come to me and let me know, because we wanted to make you feel comfortable. But I only had one person come, and they're still setting that up, but saying they wanted a ministry visit. And so now we're going to do a little bit, a switch, where our ministers might contact you. And you know, I ask that, you know, it takes two things on an outreach. You know, we all need to outreach. But then if someone is outreaching to us, we need to be acceptance and build that strong relationship. Because that's what the importance is. The importance is. And the definition of outreach is the extent or length of reaching out. The loving outreach of God to the world. You know, and what we do, how we act in that love that we reach out to people is God's light will shine through it. You know, God wants us to do this. And I'm going to turn to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, and I'm going to start with verse 1. I'm going to read 1 through 18. It says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. That is the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if it be offered upon the sacrifice and the service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. You know, and what a wonderful passage. You know, verse 15 said that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So what does the word shine mean? And we know when I say the word shine, I can put a smile on my face. You know, I think if anybody says the word shine, is to give off a bright glowing light. You know, in the book of John, Jesus is called the true light, which gives light to everyone. And it's funny, Rusty let me know Friday that he was still sick and that he couldn't preach tonight. And so I decided I was the one. And so I had got on my computer and a document on Shine was saved in a Word document. And I said, Becky, did you save this? And she said, no. And I didn't save it. So it was there. It was there. And so I know it was meant to be. This document just appeared. And so it helped within my studying here and to prepare this tonight. So I'm going to turn to John 1 and 1 through 9. And not that letting our light shine is not always my hope and always my thought. You know, when we're in the world, we need to let the light of God shine through the things we do. You know, we need to think of others. We need to do the things that we need to do to please our God and to follow his commandments. So I'm going to start with John, first chapter 1 through 9. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You know, throughout the New Testament, the followers of Jesus are called to be the light in the dark, in the darkness. And I'm going to turn to, we all know this one, Matthew 5. And I know we can all recite Matthew 5, 14 through 16. It says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candlestick and put it under the bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, Jesus gives us the example to be the light of the world. And I'm going to turn to 3rd Nephi on page 651. It So if we follow Jesus and his commandments, and God's commandments, you know, it makes it easy to know what we need to do. So on page 651, and I'm going to start with 46. This is the eighth chapter, third book of Nephi, 46. It says, therefore, blessed are ye if ye shall keep my commandments, which the Father hath commanded me that I should give unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil, and ye are led away captive by him. And as I have prayed among you, even so shall ye pray in my church, among my people which do repent and are baptized in my name. Behold, I am the light. I have set an example for you. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and saith unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore you must always pray unto the Father in my name, and whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, and that your wives and your children may be blessed. And behold, ye shall meet together oft, and ye shall not forbid any man from coming unto you when ye shall meet together, but suffer them that they may come unto you, and forbid them not. But ye shall pray for them, and shall not cast them out. And if it so be that they come unto you oft, ye shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Therefore hold up your light, that it may shine unto the world. Behold, I am the light which ye shall hold up, that which ye have seen me do. You know, and so nothing new to us. You know, he has given us that example, and we need to live our lives the same way. You know, 55 said, Behold, I am the light which ye shall hold up, that which ye have seen me do. You know, we need to live by his example. So how do we shine our light? You know, and I know each one of us has a thought, think in your hearts, think this week as you go out in the world, how can I shine the light of God through the things I do? What, you know, is it in kindness? Is it definitely in kindness? But think of others more than ourselves. You know, that's the important thing, because we have busy lives. We're busy. We have things to get done. We're on a one track. We're doing it. But look around. That person that you open the door for at the gas station, or you open go in the grocery store, or the person that's trying to find something. I've been in the grocery store many times that Becky's a better shopper than me, but I'll go for something on a grocery list, and it's like, where are the olives? Where are the such and such, you know? And if you see somebody that is, looks like they're confused, whatever, reach out, help them, be a light, be a light. And so I'm gonna turn to Romans 12. Okay, Romans 12, and I'm going to read 1 through 18. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. And I was, when I read that passage there, abhor that which is evil. You know, there's many things in life, many things on the news, many things on the, we can't be conformed to just thinking, oh, that happened again. You know, we need to abhor what is evil. We need to remember, you know, and not just say, you know, it's the norm, because we must abhor what is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You know, and when we are shining his light, we are serving him. You know, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense in no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And you know, that, you know, 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And there's some that are easier than others, but it says all. So we need to take out our own selfishness and look, because a lot of times, you know, we have different views. We always have different views. We sometimes have the same view, but even husband and wife might have different views. But how important it is to live peaceably with all. You know, I have my dad, he's 93, and we're doing a lot with him, and we love to do a lot with him. He's been in the hospital the last couple months, and he needs a little more care. And you know, patience, I thought I was a patient person, but not, you know, I have to be patient. I have to be patient in our lives. You know, we deal with different situations, and we must look to God and let him guide us to get through different situations. I'm going to turn to James, first chapter. Okay, and in James chapter 1, I'm going to start with 17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And it says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness an engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And then I'm going to drop down to 27. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God, the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And there in that passage, you know, visit those in need. And visit those, I mean, let's be an outreach. Let's be an outreach to those, to all. But maybe focus in at first on those in need of different things. And just that kind phone call that, you know, invite them over. But just that phone call, drop them a letter. A card says, you know, hope you're doing good. You know, we can do things to brighten others and shine the light of God. You know, those things are what he wants us to do. He wants us to be, to show kindness and love to one another. You know, we need to outreach, whether you're timid or you're outgoing. You know, some it's like, well, I'm not an outgoing person. And step out of your comfort zone, you know, or maybe you are outgoing and you need to use your strengths to the good. You know, we're called to be the light to the people around us. That's only possible if we're taking time to interact and then to cultivate that relationship with each other. You know, and that will give that stronger bond in Christ, stronger bond that we get to know each other and that we can strengthen each other. You know, what maybe I'm outreaching to you and what you say to me is what really is what I needed. You know, it's, we need to help each other. We need to have that outreach. You know, let the light of God show through the things we do to outreach to others. Let's turn to Moroni 7, and it's on page 768. So Moroni 7, I'm going to start with 50, verse 50 on 768. It says, and if any man, if a man be meek and lowly in heart, confesses the power of the Holy Ghost, that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long, and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ. And it endureth forever, and whoso is found possessed of it in the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen. You know, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know, we seek God for that comfort. And I know when I minister to people, when I say that prayer to God, I ask for that, for him to comfort the person in need and for that healing. But so important, you know, and God comforts us. God gives us that strength. And so we need to be there for others, that we can let God work in our lives so that we can be that comfort to others, other people. You know, are we ready to show this love and compassion that the Lord has shown us? You know, the Bible and Book of Mormon are filled with many examples of the Lord's compassion. You know, clear through both. The Lord is compassionate, and we must have that compassion. You know, we can't judge. You know, each person has a different mindset, and we can't judge, but we need to go with that love and that outreach. Let's turn to Colossians 3. Okay, Colossians 3, and I'm going to start with verse 1. And it says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. And that very last one in verse 5 where it says covetousness, which is idolatry. You know, that's the thing. Do we put other things before God, before serving our God? And it's, we don't want to do it, but, you know, think in your life and you think, am I doing something that it would be better that I was serving God? For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created you, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, and we need this. These words are the important words. Beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness. We must be humble people. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks to God and the Father by him. And, I mean, it just says it there. You know, it says it there. You know, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So we need to seek God. We need to let him dwell within our heart. And we need to make that effort to outreach, to to show that love to, because I know we love everybody here, and I know, but do we outreach to each other? Do we show that love, you know? And, you know, can others see the light of God through our actions? Do we live our lives as an example of his goodness? Are we doers of the word? You know, do we do what it says in the scriptures? Do we follow his example? Do we show God's love and compassion to others and recognize the needs of our brothers and sisters? And right now on Facebook, there's many needs, many prayers. And do we, when we see a need, and I'm sure everybody here does it, when they see it, you lift them up in prayer. You know, God wants to hear our prayers. Jesus spoke in Matthew 5:16, which is, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, glorify your Father which is in heaven." And I have a poem by Helen Steiner Rice, and I had told Becky I had switched. I had this poem, and then I was telling her this morning, I was working on this last night, and I took this poem out, put another one in, and it was on love, and then I get to the bottom of it, and it was on love of your wife. And I was like, oops, that doesn't work. And I had already zapped this one, so I had to go back in and put it in. But this is a wonderful poem here. I was just trying to switch it up, but this is a wonderful poem. It's "God's Love Endures Forever," and it's by Helen Steiner Rice. God's love endureth forever. What a wonderful thing to know. When the tides of life run against you and your spirit is downcast and low, God's kindness is ever around you, always ready to freely impart strength to your faltering spirit, cheer to your lonely heart. God's presence is ever beside you, as near as the reach of your hand. You have but to tell him your troubles. There is nothing he won't understand. And knowing God's love is unfailing and his mercy unending and great, you have but to trust in his promise. God comes not too soon or too late. So wait with a heart that is patient for the goodness of God to prevail, for never do prayers go unanswered, and his mercy and love never fail. You know, and what a wonderful poem, and the truth there, that with God, you know, his love never fails. And I'm going to turn now back to Philippians 2. And I'm going to read the first 5 verses. It says, "If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each other esteem other better than themselves." You know, and that's you know, that's a hard one, but we need to think of others more than ourselves. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus." You know, Ephesians 5:1-2 says, "Be ye thankful. Be you therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." And Moroni 7:11 says, "But behold, that which is of God inviteth and enticeth to do good continually. Wherefore, everything which inviteth and enticeth to do good and to love God and to serve him is inspired of God." You know, let's have this desire to make an effort to reach out to others, you know, shining the light of God through our actions and our love and kindness. And so let's make outreach a priority. You know, when we go from here, make outreach a priority. If a minister calls you, make that time. Make that time and that effort. And so that we can strengthen each other and we can give that love that God wants us to give to each other. So I thank you very much. And I'll turn it back to Cody.